Blog Talk Radio.
The Madden Voice, I believe we are on show 26, and we have four consecutive shows for you, and I'm going to have to take one quick pause, so bear with me for a second. Okay, I have returned. Four consecutive shows for the Madden Voice starting tonight, 4 weeks in a row, and we have heard your complaints, and we are back, and here we go. And we have a lot to talk about tonight. Certainly going to talk about the league, going to talk about NFL, and we are also scheduled to have Big B from BG Sports call in, and we're looking forward to that. He's going to talk about some things going on with VG Sports and give us some insight on the Madden tournament scene. So he's supposed to call in shortly, so we're looking forward to that. You know, going to talk about the league, as I mentioned already, and we're going to talk about some football. We're going to talk a little bit about Donovan McNabb, not a lot. If you've been on our message boards, you certainly know that McNabb has been a hot topic on the message boards. Going to talk a little bit about the Cowboys, Pac-Man Jones, T.O.'s interview with Deion Sanders, talk about the Titans, talk about the Jets, talk about the Giants. Did you see the game last night? Drew Brees, I think I'm saying it right. So, and, you know, on the message board, I had asked for some suggestions on, you know, how to make the show better. And I think that there were a lot of good suggestions, but what it's really going to take for those suggestions to come through fruition is people calling in. There was a lot of good ideas, but everything had to do with people calling in and participating, and that's not been a consistent theme on the show. We do get calls, and we do get some people that call in, but it's really not consistent, and it's really not anything steady. And so, you know, guys, if you want to do ideas, I saw Around the Horn as a possibility. I saw guys talking about a Real Talk segment where you can just kind of call in and talk about whatever you want, which is something I had proposed several weeks ago, and no one seemed to like it. Any of these ideas that people suggest is only going to work if you call into the show. If you're not prepared to call into the show, then frankly, you shouldn't be suggesting any ideas. I am never one to just bring problems. I like to bring solutions. And anyone can sit back and think of ways to make something better, but are you ready to act? And honestly, if you're not ready to act, then there's really no reason to even suggest something. You know, you really should just leave it to people that are ready to act. Before we get started on some things, lately I've noticed a lot of new radio shows popping up. I go on to different message boards, and now I guess it's the fashionable thing to do a Madden show. And hey, you know what? If you guys want to do a show on Madden, you guys want to do a show on, you know, whatever aspects of Madden that you want to do, go for it. You know, that's fine. But what really, really gets me is when people want to, you know, come on to our site where we advertise our show and go ahead and post their show as if, you know, there's no such thing as competition and as if, you know, we're going to turn over our captive audience to you for you to capitalize on. You know, myself, Coach K, some of the other guys in the league, we worked really hard to build what we have here. And, you know, if someone wants to partner with us or work with us, hey, we'll listen. But beyond that, you know, to just say, hey, come on over here and compete. I told one guy that wanted to do it that it's like going into McDonald's and seeing ads for Whoppers all over the place. You know, it's just not going to happen. And, you know, people have said that I'm territorial or whatever. Well, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, this is a business. It may not be a business that's generating an income, but I take it very seriously, and so do the people that work hard and spend a lot of their own personal time on this. And so, hey, that's just not going to happen. And I'm just letting everybody know now, if that's what you want to do, so be it. But I'm also going to say this. I think it also lends to a problem with the Madden community is that, you know, everybody wants to be a boss, but nobody wants to be on the team. And so you have, you know, 87,000 Madden sites. I had a guy email me about joining his staff because he's creating a new Madden site and said that I would benefit from it because it's free advertising to the league or for the league. Well, the problem with that is he's got no fan base. He's starting from scratch. So where do we benefit from? And why would he think that I would want to go and work for him? You know, I have a very good group of guys that I work with here, and we have a large membership. So, you know, I didn't get it. And so I just think, guys, you know, when you're out there and you get these great ideas, you know, you want to start a league, you want to start a Madden site, you want to start a show, why don't you look and see what's out there? And why don't you support what's out there? If we reduced the number of Madden entities out there, but increased their strength, there would be nothing stopping us. But you go on and search for Madden and Madden sites, and there's just too many. And it seems like every week there is a new Madden site. It's just, you know, it's too much. You know, support what's out there, and, you know, let's make the Madden community stronger. There's probably, you know, and I don't want to slight anybody, so I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, there's, well, maybe I will. I mean, what do I care? There's probably a good half a dozen solid Madden sites out there. I mean, certainly we have to start off with our own home, Sports Gamer. We certainly think that they're a solid site, or we wouldn't be there. And you can talk Madden there, and you can talk a lot of other things on Sports Gamer, but certainly have a good, loyal Madden following, you know, of course, led by the EAFL. But, you know, even if you don't stay there, I mean, you know, TML has a good Madden site, and, you know, I'm not here to get into the politics of Madden, but I'm going to say it like it is. I think TML has a really good Madden site for form and for tips, and that's how I feel about it. I think VG Sports has a good site for, you know, their forums is not too bad, and I think their tips are pretty good. And, you know, those are two that come to mind right off the top of my head. I know there's a couple of others that I'm missing, so nobody get offended if I didn't mention your site. But really, when you get down to it, there's probably half a dozen. And after that, there's just a lot of guys that are in high school or college that think that starting a Madden site is fashionable. You know, my suggestion would be partner up. You know, let's get together. You know, just as we merged with, merge is probably not the right word, but just as we moved our forums, we had our own forums, and we came and joined Sports Gamers. You know, we enjoyed our own forums, but we also felt that, you know, it could benefit us and Sports Gamers to work together, and so far it has. I think Fred's been great. I think the Sports Gamer guys have been about what I expected. Some have been fantastic, and others haven't, but that's the same as you'll find anywhere. So, you know, again, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, stop everyone thinking that they need to create their own piece of the pie and start thinking like business people, you know, and business people open their minds and think of all types of opportunities. And if anybody wants to, you know, call in and tell me I'm wrong, do so. You want to send me an email, do so. You want to send me an IM, do so. You know, I'm here until 11 o'clock and we can have this conversation. The call-in number is 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. And you can catch me on AIM. I'm on AOL right now at EAFL Commissioner. And I'm up and running right now, although my computer, that computer, is a separate computer than what I use to host this show, is acting a little funny. But I'm there. And you can certainly email me. Our new email address is themaddenvoice@eaflmadden.com. So, you know, give me a call. Tell me I'm wrong. Challenge me. I don't care. I mean, you're not going to win, but you can go for it. All right. And let's see here. I got a little agenda here that I try to follow so that, you know, my cousin called me and asked if I wanted to go out for drinks tonight. And I said that if I don't get a show going and get a regular schedule, I'm going to lose listeners. So, you know, holiday week, I'm on vacation starting right now, and I'm doing the show instead of out having some drinks with my cousin. So I deserve some props for that. Our newsletter is out. Our first newsletter came out yesterday. And I want to thank myself for all the hard work that I put into the newsletter. And if you have not received your newsletter, then send an email to the Madden Voice at EAFLMadden.com and just put subscribe in the subject line or in the body or both, and you'll get added to the mailing list. I will probably send that email that out one more time. I've got several hundred on the mailing list, and about two-thirds got it the first time. I'm using a brand new email manager, and it's working okay, but there's some kinks that I'm working out. So bear with me if you guys get it a couple of times. You know, just bear with me, but you know, feel free. The Madden Voice at EAFLMadden.com. And if, you know, you're one of the minority that just don't want it anymore or don't have time to view it, you know, you can send in one that says remove, and it'll take you right off the mailing list and you won't receive anything else. But that's going to be something that we're going to try to grow and expand, you know, just to support the things that we do in the league. And, you know, there is a thread up, you know, on the forums if you guys have feedback. You know, it was the first try, so, you know, I didn't expect it to be perfect, but I thought, you know, for a first try it wasn't bad, and I think it'll get better. But again, it's going to need content. You know, it's going to need people that are willing to participate and maybe send in tips that we can put in there. Now, we're not trying to become a tip site or anything, but, you know, a tip here and there certainly won't hurt anything. Or if you know, there's something going on in the community that you want to mention or note, you know, feel free. I have a pretty good-sized mailing list and have a lot of people to add to the mailing list. So, you know, when we're done, it's going to be a pretty sizable amount of people that will be getting our communication. So certainly willing to use it to advertise things that are going on in the Madden world, in the, you know, the tournament scene or in the Madden community. And I think it'll be mutually beneficial. One of the things that came out in the newsletter was there had been some scuttlebutt around about the possibility of the EAFL actually doing a tournament. Now, for those of you who don't know the history of the EAFL, I will not bore you with all the details, but I will tell you that we hosted tournaments before we started the league. And I got to say, it was some of the best tournaments I've ever played in. And these would be online tournaments that we hosted. This was not going to a venue and playing against somebody, as in the Madden Challenge or Players Bowl or some of the other tournaments that are out there where you actually go and play somebody. It's actually, you know, we did online tournaments. And, you know, let me tell you, the online tournaments that we did were fantastic. And we turned that into a league. And so, you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt now. You know, people get to talking, and there's a rumor out there that the EAFL might go back into doing tournaments and continue doing leagues, but do tournaments. But this time even make them for, you know, money-based tournaments. Now, that's the rumor. And, you know, I've talked to different people in the league to find out where the rumor came from and tried to get a sense of who started this rumor and what's the validity. And, you know, you would think as the owner of the EAFL, I would be on top of all of these things. But, you know, when you get to the size that we are now with four active leagues going, membership, you know, hundreds of people that are active members of the league, it's hard for one person to oversee everything that's going on. So currently I'm kind of in the dark on all of this. I'm not sure where it came from. I'm not going to say that it's not true, but I'm just going to say that I'm going to have to go back and talk to some more people and figure out where this rumor came from and what's it all about. So bear with me. You know, as news develops, I will certainly be willing to release news as it develops, and maybe even possibly, you know, we'll see if we can maybe get a reporter to join the newsletter and to discuss that, you know, our the possibility of us doing tournaments. I have no information at this point, so I would just say right now, hang in there and wait, and there'll be more news to come. All right. I also want to announce that before the night's over, we will have our very first power rankings. That's right. If you've been in the EAFL from day one, you'll know that we used to do things like power rankings fairly regularly. Kind of got away from it. So guess what? Commish T decided to go back and bring power rankings back into it. And so tonight, for the Major League in the 360, we will have power rankings. Who is the number one player in the league based on power rankings? It'll be the top 10. So stay tuned. That'll be coming later. But without further ado, I am pleased to announce that our good friend and more Coach K's friend than mine, but before the interview is over, he's going to be my friend too. But Big B from VG Sports has graciously called in to join us, and I want to welcome him to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, brother?
Can't complain. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad you made it.
I'm glad you allowed me to come on the show.
Oh, anytime. We've got some good friends over there with you. You know, Ron, and I think we had Bert even called in one night. You know, as you guys as 09 was dropping and some things were being released. So we value our relationship with the guys over at VG. So really glad that you could join us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So let's jump right in. I understand that you have a new ebook, or maybe even more than one, but at least one new ebook that's going to be coming out.
We did two at one time. He released the Red Zone book a few days ago, and the Green Bay has just been launched as we speak. He's doing the sales stage for it now.
Excellent. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, I understand in theory what the Red Zone is, but why would we purchase the Red Zone ebook? What's in it for us?
Basically what happened was when I first started the crew, we used to work out before we go to a tournament. And a lot of the things that we practiced and worked on was pretty much like moving the ball up the field. And one particular game, we had Fred Dizzle in a championship game, I think against Fool. And they pretty much were scoring, you know, he scored, Fool scored, he scored, Fool scored. It was a key drive where he got within the 20, and he purposely took a sack, which I didn't understand at the time. And he tried to get into the end zone and couldn't. And when he didn't get into the end zone, that's how Fool won. And afterwards, we usually have a meeting after a tournament talking about, you know, what happened, what changes we're going to make for the next tournament and stuff like that. And one of the veteran players in the group had started slamming stuff on the ground. And I'm like, you know, why are you so upset? He was like, man, y'all sit in the lab and practice all of this stuff, but when y'all get in the red zone, y'all don't have anything. Y'all never even practice red zone offense. Y'all don't even practice special teams. The only thing y'all practice is chucking the ball up the field. And he brought up a valid point. So from that point on forth, whenever we created a scheme, each one of us, we also worked on like a two-minute joint and also something for the red zone. They did a survey at VG with a lot of the people who were buying our product, and it was a big complaint about the red zone. So Bert had had a meeting with me individually, and he said, let's try something new this year. We're going to do a mini guide because of the recession, because a lot of people can't afford a lot of the product. You know, because money being tight, he wanted to do something a little more affordable, and he wanted to do the red zone. So I did one initially, and I didn't like it, got rid of it. And this one was more about routes, three-way floods, different types of things that you could utilize when you're in the red zone versus all coverage, versus the manual defender, man zone, heat, any type of situation. And it wasn't a guide to create to kind of tell them what to do, but to kind of get them in the mind frame of the type of things you need to be looking for when you're in that area. You don't need anything that takes a long time to develop. You need something to hurry up and get you in there. And also in the guide, it gives you certain type of tips how, let's say you're in a league game and you're in the red zone, you don't want the person to get the ball back, to show you how to move the ball to get in there at the same time managing the clock. So it was different, and I did it, and he seemed to like it, and the people who purchased it said they liked it as well.
Oh, that sounds good. You might have just told me.
Oh, go ahead, man.
I'm a seasoned vet.
You don't need that. You're a seasoned vet. You don't need stuff like that.
You know, the problem with me, and maybe we can talk offline, but, you know, it's not the amount. I need quality labbing because I don't have a lot of time, you know, with the job and running the league and stuff. So I'm not one of the better guys in the league, and it doesn't bother me because I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to make a league for me to win. I want the best, but on the other hand, I want to be able to compete. You know, so I'm hearing your red zone ebook, and I'm thinking, man, I've had some problems when I get down to the you know 18, 15, 10 yard line, man. You know, when you get to the one, you can pretty much jam it in, but other than that,
exactly.
I've had problems. So I'm like, that sounds real good.
Well, it's just little things like, especially, you know, my co-commit squeeze. I'm going to get rid of the co-commit. Both of us commit together. And
okay.
When the game came out, we was looking for certain things. And, we throw things off the wall, see what stick. And certain things may work, but you may not want to use it. So you use, like, foul 13. So it's really a lot of those different concepts that we use, and it changes every year because as the AI get adjusted, certain things that may work this year may not work the following year. But it's just little basic stuff. And also, you hit it right on the head, lab. One of the things that I don't know if you remember Wally B. He was like a guy back in the days that had, like, every year he always came out with an unstoppable offense, right?
Okay.
He was beating everyone until he played Tommy Guns. And what had happened was Tommy came out in quarter three deep. He never labbed quarter three deep. As simple as it may sound to deep, it totally threw his whole game off and he lost. And afterwards, he went to RJ, and RJ was like, how could you have such a big lead and lose? He said, I never labbed quarter three deep. The thing about the red zone, as far as any of the other stuff that we have problems with, lab time is the time that you go over those type of scenarios and try to create those scenarios so that when you get in that situation, it's second nature. And I had like a real big write-up at the end talking about that. A lot of times we lose because we're put in a situation or make the wrong decision, and it's something that we never really rehearsed or worked over. We work over the basic stuff, man, zone, heat, all coverage, stuff like that. But what we really need to do is get more in the habit of labbing everything in every possible situation and having that great lab partner that can create some of those type of mismatches and problems that you may encounter so that when you get into a league game, the playoffs, tournament, what have you, you're already prepared. And that's one of the biggest things that I think a lot of the Madden players have today is the lack of lab. They think running the play 10 or 20 times in the basement against random defense is enough to get past some of the top players. No, because as you expose the player, they're going to make adjustments. So what you need to do, this is something that was passed down from Rob Nice, which was the commissioner EBC, when they were on top. And he was saying that learn how to counter your own stuff so that when you see it coming, it's easy for you to make the adjustment, to be proactive instead of reactive. And a lot of the things that we see on TV and football is the same thing as is predicated in Matt, even though a lot of people don't think so. But a lot of that stuff falls in line in Madden as well as in football. Time management, the whole nine. So, that's just something I just wanted to bring up because you hit it right on the head having a great lab partner.
No, you said it better than I could have. Hey, now, do you think there would ever be a time where you guys would come out with an ebook for old guys?
I would love this.
Something geared towards, you know, us older guys with families and jobs that don't have, you know, a lot of the guys in my league, and I love my league. I love the guys in the EAFL. So shout out to the EAFL. I got a great group of guys. We travel tourneys together and all that. I know you've talked a lot with Coach K. He's quality people, and he's an example of a lot of the guys. But a lot of the guys in the league, and even you know some of the better talent, they're younger. And I don't know that age is such an issue as it is time. They're younger, they have more time to practice, more time to lab, and us older guys, we just don't have the time. And so if there was a book on, okay, you're a little older, maybe your reflexes aren't as quick as they used to be, here's some things that you may want to look at that might help you when you play somebody half your age. What do you think?
I'm
asking you, what do you think?
I think the thing is, I write those kind of guys, believe it or not, if you ever look at them. Everyone has a different writing style. Ron pretty much comes from the perspective of, you know, he played the position in college, and now I think he's coaching it. So he comes from, a coaching perspective. Cobra comes from another perspective. When I came into the business, this is coming back to what you're saying, not trying to get long with it or whatever. My thing was, what's going to be your niche? If you're going to become a writer, then you need to leave your mark a certain way to help the community. Because I came from VG Forums. It wasn't like I was some guy that they brought from a company to come in and write. I was just like you and anyone else in leagues, street games, and I was going to try to get that extra information. So when a friend of mine named Master Woos, me and him got together, and we came up with this concept. Whenever I do guides and stuff, I try to come from a real football standpoint, which older people can understand. And for younger players who are interested in whatever I'm talking about, I show them all the little bells and whistles and the little things that they want to see in life and try to mesh both together. Finding what worked in real football, translate it over into Madden, and the lab work that we put in the first month or so in the crew, I take that and dump it in the stuff that I put out. So now you're getting tournament stuff, you're getting tested stuff, and I'm not telling you to go to the circle man, to the square man. I'm using flanker, split in, using for football terminology that older people will understand. And if you get some of these guys and just get a good lab partner, if you read some of the, like the one that's coming out now in Green Bay, you'll really be shocked on how much time that you can catch up, even though you don't have that time to work out.
And that sounds good. So so this would be an ebook for the Green Bay playbook, I take it.
Yes, sir.
And that's coming out soon?
No, it's out now.
It's already out.
Yes, sir. He just sent while we was talking just now, he sent the Yahoo message saying it's out. I'm doing the promo page now. Green Bay was the playbook. Traditionally what EMB does is a rule that I had, I wanted everyone to use their own playbook. So we tear all the playbooks up, we all grab one, and what wind up happening is what I'm trying to promote is different looks. So say, for instance, you play a person who's running Green Bay. You haven't seen Green Bay because I ran it, or someone's running Tampa Bay playbook or whatever. You know the different looks and formations to look for. When I was going through playbooks, Green Bay caught my eye because they have a particular formation that's not in any other playbook. It's the ace empty. It's two tight ends. It looked like a single back big with three wide outs. And the route combinations and different things that they had in that formation was, like, outstanding. Pretty much, you can work short to big. You can move up and down the field with it. So one of the things that I like to do is any scheme that I run, I want all of my sets to mesh together from I big all the way up to shotgun five wide. And I have to go back to make sure that everybody can be packaged, because in a lot of these tournaments and leagues, they don't allow you to do illegal substitution. So what you get in Green Bay is a mixture of spread, compression, hybrid, everything I've written about. That playbook had it. And it was shocking that a lot of people overlooked it. And when I was labbing with people in my crew, they were saying it was one of the hardest offenses to stop. It was a scheme that me and Squeeze put together. I did the finishing touches to it. We kind of looked at different plays, different scenarios, and bam, they came out. After the challenge, it kind of turned my stomach and playing issue. So I was saying, well, I'll just give them my whole entire scheme so everyone can run it. And I bought it out in the guy, in the Green Bay guys. E-book, rather, that's coming out today.
Wow, that sounds good. Hey, let me also welcome Coach K. He's joined us on the call. Coach K, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, T? What's going on, Big B?
Hey, what's going on, Coach?
Good to have you here, man.
Man, I should have been here a long time ago. I'm sorry it took so long, but two kids, married, working and all of that is rough. But
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I also want to take a second to thank Coach K. Always the backbone of the EAFL. He stepped up to take over a commissioner, a league for us as a commissioner while we had a commissioner unexpectedly step down, and Coach K stepped up to take over while we replaced that commissioner. And he's also been very active in helping us plan the radio show and make some improvements to the show. So just want to publicly thank him, as I always try to do, for just everything he does for the league, and just want to acknowledge his contribution. And so, thanks again, Coach.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's for the community.
But I want to back up for a second, Big B, because I don't want to assume that everybody who, I know that you're a mega force in the Madden community, and you just say Big B. You know, I go to the grocery store and I say Big B, and they say, where is he? I want his autograph. For the few people that live in caves that don't know who you are and don't know what EMB is, can you just explain everybody about your crew?
All right. I'm Big B, the commish for Elite Madden Ballers Club. Originally, the club was named the Washington Ballers Club. And what had happened was me and a friend of mine, we used to play in neighborhoods for money, playing Madden. Lo and behold, the online thing came along, and a guy told us about VG Sports. We went there, and we saw an advertisement for a tournament for $10,000 in Philly. So we were saying, all right, let's go out there and see if we can, get this money. We go to Philly, we get drugged. I mean, we can't even get on the scoreboard, right? We're getting sacked in 1 second. Guys are manually turning people around, snatching passes out the air. And I'm like, what? I don't know what kind of views we have. But I'm like, what the hell is going on here? We supposed to be tight, and we coming out here getting tore up. And then I'm seeing these guys with shirts and stuff like GTP and HOB, and I'm like, what in the world is all of this stuff, right? So one of the people that drugged me was Rob Knight, the commissioner of EVC. So we started talking, and we got along real good. And he explained to me about the crews and all of that. So what I was telling Coach K was that he took a liking to me. He gave me the blueprint because they were the number one group in the nation at the time. I didn't know that. So he gave me the blueprint as to how they were able to be successful in tournaments. He referred me then to Bobby Storm, the commissioner of Game Time Philly, who's in the history books as far as crews. And he gave me his blueprint. And then he referred me to Mike Brown. So now you have all four of those guys together, and they was giving me all of the things that's necessary to start a group. And the benefits were by having a crew, you have multiple people, y'all work out together, and when you go to a tournament, because they can't have you play against each other, it's kind of a strategic thing because you have a member in each bracket. So as the tournament go on, what you're hoping is you knock off other people from other groups and hopefully that, you be at the end of the tunnel. The thing that I noticed is I wanted to do something different. I wanted my crew to be more family-oriented because I figured if it was more family-oriented that the teamwork would be better. You got RJ and we built people around him. Over a period of time, me and my friend that started it, he stepped down because I was more of a visionary
as far as where I wanted the group to go, and he was kind of like content at us just being like a little local thing. I wanted us to be a national thing and to go further with it and to use VG as a vessel to platform my crew. What winded up happening after that, I followed Rob Nice's blueprint. Rob Nice was, back then you only could recruit in your state. That's the way the rules were. But EVC was the only crew at that time that was recruiting people outside of their general area. So what I did was I went after as many people in D.C., and then I started going out. And I told Coach K that what I found was that the guys from Jersey and New York area were more stable, hardworking, and dedicated. It's hard to get their trust, but once you have it, you got them. So I recruited people from Florida, Indianapolis, any state you name. I was aggressive recruiting. We was almost like 30 deep. A lot of people were from VG, all over. And as time went on, I kept aggressively recruiting because it was a major turnover every year, like 5 people would walk away. I needed more stability. That's when I went and got the Emmanuel Stewart of Madden, which was sweet. Brought him in, and he became my right-hand man, and what he pretty much did is got the guys in line, worked with them, lab with him. He was like a trainer slash spot. And he made some of the biggest names that you hear today from working with him. And pretty much that's it. You know, that's basically the aggressive recruiting, the different things that was taught to me, trying to build it on a family oriented base. That's how EMB came along. Now, how the name change came was because everyone was from a different area. When we got Problem, Problem had stressed the concern that when he was on the West Coast playing, how guys gave him the business about being in the East Coast group. So Squeeze had said, we've been thinking about this for 2 years. We need to go ahead and make a name change. So we've switched our name to Elite Madden Ball, and that's how we went from WBC to EMB. And pretty much all I do is I'm a writer, the innovator of the compression offense, figurehead in the community, I guess, through the long-term times that I've been with the different people that I just named, hosting tournaments, hosting leagues, doing whatever I can do to help uplift the Madden community. I was a pain in EA side for many years because they try to ignore us, the leagues, the tournaments and stuff like that. And I guess I was a person, like a diplomat, who fought for us. And if you notice, a lot of that fighting is starting to come to pass now. You see how they got the EA Challenge. You see how they opening up more options for leagues and stuff like that. I'm kind of the guy in the back that made a lot of things happen but never really talked about it that much.
So let me see how much I can pick your brain, because you mentioned some very interesting stuff, and I love hearing how other entities, you know, compared to some of the entities. I mean, we're 3.5 years old, so we're still relatively young compared to a lot of the other, you know, entities out there. So I like hearing, because there's a lot of similarities, you know, between how we got going and how other people got going. But the one basic similarity is we all took it very seriously. So,
yeah.
I can appreciate that. But one of the things we talk about, you know, you being a veteran of the tournament scene, is something that, I think it was Coach K might have labeled Madden snobbery. I think that was a Coach K term. And you know, having gone to a few tournaments myself and talked with a lot of people, you know, there is something about when you go to a Madden tournament and some of the guys there that have been on the bus and have been on TV, they almost look through their nose at you if you haven't. And
exactly.
I start to say to myself, you know, I respect, and I'm not going to mention names, but I respect what some of these guys
have done. No, I follow what you're saying. I'm following you. Go ahead.
You know,
you're preaching. Well,
I respect what they've done, but at the end of the day, they are still playing Madden, and the world, you know, on a whole, doesn't view them any differently than anybody else who plays Madden. So in the Madden world, they may be somebody, but as soon as they step outside of that little Madden world, They're nobody. They're just another person who plays video games. And so I laugh, I chuckle when these guys, you know, they talk, you know, oh, if you guys don't play for money, then you ain't nothing and this and that. And, you know, you hear all this talk. And I'm just wondering, you know, is it, you know, is it me? Is it just I'm too old? Or
no.
is there really an issue there?
When we first came along, it was there. Like, I remember the first time I seen Young Guns come into a tournament. He had an entourage of like 12 people around him. And it was like, you know, the king is coming in. And they rolled out the carpet kind of like, they were like, he has the best stick in the nation. It's like Curly Top was giving his intro as he coming in. And
the king of Zamunda.
Exactly, you know, and you know, then Gene came in, and then, like, you know, our veteran leader, Big Game James, and it kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, well, why are they treating these guys, you know, so differently? And then you will walk by Sandman and say, hey, what's happening? He'll just look at you like, you know, why are you even talking to me?
Wow.
And, what we call it was Madden status. Now, in defense for them, let's say all three of us are fighters. In order to be great, you have to carry this kind of edge. Not all of them do, like Young Nephew. Is a very rare player where he's very humble, no trash talk, but this boy sit down and play like he's 50 years old. You know, everything that he does is the same type of way we see the game. But then you have a lot of them who walk around with this edge or this chip on their shoulder. And they utilize that, I guess, in order to create a persona of intimidation when you get on the sticks. I don't know what it is. We've seen a lot of the guys in our group who's not there, not here anymore. Initially, they're humble, and once they get the success and all of this attention, it automatically goes to their head. And then back then, or even still to this day, what a lot of the top players used to do is associate with one another. And they didn't want any of the information or any of that stuff to come down to, I guess, quote-unquote, the bum. And it was like a secret society to a degree. They only would talk to each other. They only would laugh with each other and stuff like that. And was it right? I didn't like it. But I could respect it to a certain degree because I guess this is what they have to do to intimidate people. Like, I remember one guy that was playing Sandman. He was sweating so bad, I thought he had to change his shirt. The game hasn't even started yet. You know what I mean? They automatically have this, you know, a lot of them, I believe, win, you know, from experience and also from intimidation factor.
Right.
And really,
is that what they call, because I heard some people say, yeah, that guy's in the hot seat, like that's the hot seat, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, the hot seat is predicated off of, like, a key game. Like, me and you playing in the championship or in the semi-championship or whatever, the hot seat is when, you know, the game is on the line, all the tricks don't work, it's just me against you, and each decision is important in order for you to succeed in that game. So sometimes you can have hell games early, or the hot seat, excuse my language, with certain matchups. Like, if you're in a round robin and you mess around and lost to a certain guy, and next thing you know, you're looking down, I have to play Gene in order to get through. I have to play Squeeze in order to get through. Now you're instantly into a high C game there. A lot of high C games are predicated on money games that's behind the tournament. You know, I got 1,000 on this game. And that automatically instantly create the high C. But what I really believe is that attitude is what kind of hurt us in the long run because it's hard to market a person like that. Now, with the bus thing, that's what they was looking for. But it's hard for a Red Bull, Coca-Cola, to want to promote a guy that is standing all in somebody's face, spitting, hollering, screaming, jumping up and down, walking with their nose up. And stuff. It's very hard to get, you know, promotion that way. So in the long run, it kind of hurt us because people like Nephew and different guys are more remarkable. It's more that you can do with them than you can do with that type of attitude.
it's something that was there when I first got there, and it's something that I see now. And it can take, it's the least little thing of success that will cause it. If they make it to a Final Four, if they beat a particular person, it's supposed to be great. If they win a regional, if they, like you said, make it on the show. They have this air about them. And the one thing they don't understand, y'all can mark your calendars on this. Most Madden players have a 3-year span. The year that they first come out and they are beating everybody, usually it's a 3-year rotation. The ones, the few who made it past that is like the Childs, the Nephews, and the Genes. You can even throw 40 in there as well. But if you look at a lot of these other players, you can almost mark your clock to it. 3-year rotation they've done, sometimes less than that. And that's why I never understood why did you walk around like that, because like you said, outside of the game, we all, you know, that status only exists here. But in the 3-year span, a lot of these guys, you don't even see them anymore. Now, look at the list of the people who won the regionals last year, and look at the list of the people who's winning now, and then look at your brackets. You'd be surprised. A lot of those same people ain't there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I won't bore anybody with all the details, but Coach K was there when we were in Philly, and I had words with, one of those guys whose 3-year periods have come and gone. And let's just say that his PS2 game did not follow him to the next gen. And
I don't want to interrupt you. This is something me and Squeez laugh about. We mock these guys. As soon as they win, we almost can tell when they're not going to be there no more.
Right.
It's one particular one that's supposed to be the best player on next gen, right? We told them as soon as that following season he wasn't going to be good. Next thing you know, he was on the show, disappeared, no one ever heard from him since. But they walk around with this attitude like, I mean, dog, eventually this is going to come to an end. It's going to catch up with you. So
yeah, and that's what I don't understand. And the other part of it is I say to myself, you know, okay, a lot of these guys are in the late teens or early 20s, and so, you know, I say, okay, some of these guys are making a couple of dollars. But maybe I'm missing something. I mean, how much, you know, there's the upper echelon – that make what they make, but that's only a handful. So when you get outside of that upper echelon, what are these guys making in a year, you know, that are running around, you know, playing Madden? What are they really pulling down? Because it can't be what they act like it is.
It's a status, and once they get it, I mean, I hate when my players catch it. And it's not a bad thing at times, but once they, like, I had a guy in my group, Steve-O. Real quiet, shy boy. He came to me, and in this recruiting process, I had to talk to his parent in order for him to come in.
Yeah, he beat J-Beth in Philly that Saturday.
Yep.
He won a challenge. And then he still pretty much stayed the same, but you started noticing a difference in him. You know, we had another guy, Jet. He was one of our favorite players because when we picked him up, he didn't even know how to hold an Xbox controller. And, you know, he had it upside down beating, what's that guy's name? Jarvis. He was beating Jarvis in the challenge, and he had never played on an Xbox before. He beat him.
Wow.
Because he had won a championship the year before.
Wow.
So he went to a Philly tournament. He cleaned house. I think he knocked out 2 or 3 top players. It was a slight change. Nothing negative, but you notice it's a slight change because now they have achieved that certain level. So, you know, the shoulders stand up a little bit. You know, RJ, a whole host of guys who, when they became successful, it was an automatic change. I guess that's the edge you need in order to stay where you're at. But then you have the ones like Russ who won challenges back-to-back. And he's the same guy he was when I first met him. Some people need it, some people don't. Is it bad or whatever? I think it's bad to the point when you're disrespecting a person. Because I had to check a cat one time. Y'all may laugh at it. I'm not going to say the dude's name. One time I was at a tournament. The guy kind of got me wrong. So when no one was looking, I snatched him up by the collar. and say, game is a game, but I'm a man. Don't confuse this Madden skills that you're gonna, you know, that you're gonna disrespect me like that. I check the chin and let you know real quick that there's a difference between that game and being a grown man. You're not gonna disrespect me like that. You know, and then I was just joking. I said, no, y'all take things out of context. You know, it's a handful of them that's like that. They keep jumping over across that line, thinking that with transfer from that game goes to the streets. No, Slim, it's a big difference. And a lot of these young guys need to think about that. Yeah, it looked nice on TV and stuff, but from where I'm from in Washington, D.C., and I know coaches from New York, you're not going to keep disrespecting folks like that.
Right.
Just because, you know, you on court, you know, you done did all of these different things, that don't make a difference as far as you respecting me as a man. And that's the thing that they need to understand. Yeah, it's fun to talk trash or whatever, but it comes a point that you shouldn't, you know, constantly go across that line. One tournament coach was at, he was hot. I had to walk around with him for a minute. He was really hot because them guys can get on your skin like that. It was a thing about some cheating thing that was going on with you, though. One of those, the guy did something.
Yeah,
the guy
like
was doing something that won't allow him to call a timeout or make any adjustments to his team. You know, and
like,
the guy
like
repeated kept doing it. Was that? What'd you say?
Yeah, it was basically, like, it's like when he brought up his coach cam or something like that, like, I wasn't able to audible down to, like, a certain, like, defense and stuff like that. It was, like, almost like my control. I knew my control was fully charged. I mean, there was nothing wrong with
exactly.
it. It's just, you know, so.
But the attitude the kid had towards Coach, I knew Coach was ready to tear this dude from one end to the other. You know, there's no place for that. You know, this is number the game we here to compete for. But, you know, some of them are disrespectful. But it's some
guys.
Yeah,
and I agree. I agree with you on the disrespect thing. I think that's what really burns my butt more than anything else is, hey, I don't have a problem with you getting your game face on. I don't have a problem with you talking smack. You know, the game's about to start. You know, hey, we're not friends anymore. You know, we're about to battle, and let's go at it. I may even talk about your mom a little bit, but I'm just trying to get that edge.
You've been talking about your mom a little bit.
You know, but when the game's over, you know, let's shake hands. Hey, good game. You got me this time, or I got you, you know, whatever. Hey, I might be mad I lost, and I may have to go over here and cuss in the bathroom or something, but you got me. But these guys, man, I mean, it's, you know, they start, you guy was getting, this dude who's 3-year time at Span that I mentioned was playing one of the guys in my league, and the guy in my league is Casper, and Casper was guy at Players Bowl last spring who upset Problem. Casper's with our league. And so Casper can play the game. And Casper took this cat out. Casper wasn't really trying, okay? And this dude's steady calling Casper a bum. Now, for a second, I looked at the screen, and I thought Casper was losing because they were on opposite sides of where the score was. So I'm like, well, you know, okay, he's beating Casper, but why you got to be calling him a bum, too? I mean, it don't make no sense, you know? I'm like, well, they're in the game. I'm not going to say nothing. And Casper's sitting there laughing. I say, Casper, man, what's going on? He said, nothing, man. I think this dude's funny. I'm whooping him, shutting him out, and he's calling me a bum. I'm like, oh, you're winning?
Look at us. With Casper
smirking. And the dude was just like, you know, oh, I'm just going to throw deep now. I mean, this game is nothing. This guy, I'm losing to this guy. He's a bum, calling him names. And just completely, I'm just like, and so, of course, I had to finally speak up. And I'd be like, dude, you do know you're losing. I mean, I just want to make sure we're looking at the same screen. Usually that kind of talk is for someone that's winning, and you're losing, you know.
We know Casper can get people mad like that, though.
But Casper didn't do anything this time, you know. Casper didn't do anything this time. Casper was just playing his game. I mean, Casper's, you know, 100 pounds soaking wet, so he don't really talk too much junk. But I don't know. But, you know, Big B, I appreciate the insight there because I just want to make sure, you know, Coach K sometimes tells me that I'm getting a little too old and I'm getting out of touch. And
plenty of time for one to grab one of them cats next. It's not a tournament I go to that someone don't get me hot. And they have to remind me quick they're kids. You know, they don't know any better. You know, the problem
is
a lot of them haven't had their behind spanked. Now,
right,
when I grew up, I got smacked around in the hood here and there before I started understanding what to say, what to do, and how to carry yourself out there in the street. A lot of these kids, you know, in the suburbs, you know, sheltered, you know, life or whatever the case may be, but when they on them sticks, they're thugs. There's a difference right. Slim between them sticks and them being out here on these streets. And
they
don't
get
know
me,
that.
Don't get me started on the fake thuggery that goes on in the Madden community.
Oh, my goodness.
I just,
you know,
I mean,
oh, you a bum.
Put on the end of the name and they're thug.
Oh, man, just that and another, you know.
When did it become cool to go on a message board and talk like your keyboard is broken? You know, when did that become cool to go on a message board and just every other word out of your mouth is, you know, slang, this, D-I-S, that, D-A-T. I'm sorry. That is not, that's ignorant. When did that become cool? You know what I mean? I mean, don't get me started on that, man. But, hey, I want to ask you another question. So,
yes, sir.
As I was talking with Coach K, he had relayed to me an interesting story, and I'm wondering if you feel like going into it a little bit, but he said that there was a time where you and maybe a few other guys actually went to talk to EA Sports about some of the holes in the game, and let's just say got a less than favorable response from EA. Is that a true story?
All right. They may ban me for this, but I don't care. We're on your radio show.
Hey, First Amendment,
all right.
Freedom of speech.
All right. I can understand their point of view. What EA position is this, from what I've seen, is that they're tired of people complaining. Give a resolution. Give us a solution to things rather than rag on us on the boards and constantly lay us out about different things that happen with the game. I always felt that the community day that we participated in was an opportunity for us to talk to the game designers to kind of point things out to fix things. And it was a few times I went up there and I mentioned some things and the response wasn't, you know, that good. And I don't know if it's because of the fact that guys constantly, you know, rag on them or complain or whatever, or if the intent was for us to go there and to sit there and see the game, enjoy the lights, and then go home. You know, don't ask any questions, just go home or whatever. But I took it personal when I went there because I felt that the whole purpose behind all of this is to improve the game and make the game, you know, a perfect one. You know, we got the NFL rights. You got some of the best game designers in the world. You have some of the best leaders in the community here. Let's get together and let's get something going. Now, some of the things do get fixed, but some things do get missed. And the reason why a lot of the stuff gets missed is because they're under a timetable. When we was up there, they have an actual clock ticking, you know, through seconds for each game release from the time it starts to it has to be out or whatever. So a lot of things are going to get missed. But I think the thing that kind of turned my stomach was when I mentioned things, it wasn't as receptive as probably others. And I feel that the time that I put in this community and the things that I've done, I'm kind of like the ear and the voice of the community. So I don't understand why it was like that. To this point and to this day, I have not been invited there since after those two visits. I'm fine with that because I think of myself as a dude from the street. I don't need, you know, all that other stuff. I came from the community. I never forgot where I came from. And you can ask Coach K. Even though my group is successful, the books that I write are some of the top, you know, selling e-books that's out there, I'm still the same cat. You know, I take time out to talk to Coach K or whoever, you know. And when people bring complaints to me, you know, I submit it to them. Some stuff get listened to, some stuff don't. The only person I felt that was very receptive to me was when RJ had won his challenge, and we went to Vegas. That's where the EA challenge was at. And the guy never told me what his title was. He never really told me what his name was, but it was me, him, Turley, John, Sally, and RJ, all of us sitting there. And I was stressing all of these views, and he'd written all of the stuff down. And he was saying, I guarantee you, if not all of it, half of it is going to be in next year's game. And guess what wound up happening? That offensive line thing with the blocking was one of the things. The individual defensive assignments was another thing. you started noticing the difference in the defensive coverage or whatever. That was the only guy to ever listen to me, and I've seen a lot of the stuff instituted into the game. I had to fight tooth and nail for us to get defensive coverages added in next gen. Remember, the first few didn't have that on it.
Yeah.
You know, where you could adjust them in and stuff like that. And they were saying, well, we thought you didn't need it. How can you not need that? Any defensive coordinator. No, I'm just saying, you know, we're talking real talk here. Any defensive coordinator, they're going to, you know, if you, like, let's say you're playing against Peyton Manning or whatever. He makes so many adjustments at the line of scrimmage. You have to change defensive assignments, and you have to give that person an opportunity to make these adjustments. One guy come out in one set, you come out in one defense, they all go up to the five wide, you stuck. You know, you have to be able to make some kind of adjustment. I was told not to ask about it. But you know me, I went in there and I said, like, well, how come we don't have it? You know, next thing you know, Burt put his hand down his head or he about to get banned from there, you know. But the thing was, I always tried to fight for the people, to treat the community and stuff like that. And I felt that the EA community thing was supposed to be more where you worked with them and they took your suggestions and stuff. I'm not one of the likable ones of the people who go at it. And I'm fine with that. As long as I'm cool with the community and everything else is fine, it don't make a difference. But,
what are your thoughts on, what are your thoughts, if I can just, because you've mentioned the Community Leaders Program a few times, what are your thoughts? And you know, I'm not trying to get you in trouble with anybody, so don't say anything you're not comfortable with.
How long does it make a difference? Because I'm not saying anything that was wrong, you know. But,
all right.
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts on the community? Coach K and I have had so many talks about the Community Leaders Program, but, you know, you are or were, not sure which, in it. So you certainly have a bird's-eye view of the program. I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on the Community Leaders Program?
When they first started, it was perfect. The guy who was running it was named Nathan. He was excellent. The guy gave us everything we needed. He made you feel comfortable. He gave us a detailed tour. We met football players like this. I met Roy Williams and Strahan. If you had concerns and complaints, he was on it. He automatically he listened to a lot of the stuff that we were saying. And when Cobra found stuff, or any of us found things, very receptive.
I remember Nathan. Coach K.
Nathan.
Yeah,
he's in the
front. EA Nathan. Yeah.
I loved him to death. He was very interested in the community. He gave us, like, hundreds of free games, man. I mean, you know, and he had a good understanding on what it meant for the cooperation to mesh with the community. By giving us these games, we used to give them out for free and little contests and stuff at VG Sports, and whenever certain things arrive, you could talk to him directly. Bert could call him, right, you know, any time of the day. Bam, Nathan was on it. He took everything seriously. When Nathan stepped down, it was a considerable difference. I guess just like in any president that get elected or go into a position, they come in with a different point of view. The next guy came in saying, you know, it was decent, but it wasn't quite like Nathan spoiled us. You know, the other guy who came in was decent. He did well, and then they made another switch to another person, and now I'm sitting here talking to you. The program was good because they had a guy from England or New Zealand or whatever. They had Madden people from all over. So when we was there, we all was talking, passing ideas back and forth. It was a beautiful thing. And I think that the Community Leaders Program is still a good program if you do it, if it's utilized for the right thing. You know what I mean? You have the customers, the consumers, which is the community, and you have the cooperation. So it should be some type of thing where the consumer feels that my voice is being heard because I'm invested into your company buying this game. And it's an ongoing process. You may ask somebody else, they may say it's perfect to me. It's not what I thought it was supposed to be. They do a lot of things to work with the community, whatever, but I work with a different part of the community. People like you, me, you know, you know, those type of guys. The ones that I think they kind of listen to, the ones who are not like the hardcore Madden players. Now, they're making an adjustment to that. But, you know, that's where I pretty much stand in line with.
Yeah, I just always wonder who exactly do they communicate with. You know, that's always been my thing is these days, you know, what is the connection between, I mean, when you have something called the Community Leaders Program, you would expect that there would be a large amount of dialogue and communication between the people in that program and the people that make up the Madden community. And, you know, over our few years involved, it's been up and down. It really hasn't been consistent.
They do have a few people like Bobby Storm. Well, you know what?
Yeah,
basically,
right. I know Bobby's
like
there.
Like, say it like this, they may do, but because I kind of was isolated, I don't know. But I know when I was involved, certain people was listened to and certain people weren't. And I feel everyone has a voice. You should listen to all of these different things. And at that time that I was given that information, our group was, like, in the top three. So if I work my way through the ladder and I'm entrenched in the community, don't you think kind of what I say have, like, some kind of substance to it? But, you know, I was blown off.
Right.
You know, maybe I should have went to college and graduated. Well, strike that off the show. But maybe if I was a different type of person, I might have been listened to more. But I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I think you make a lot of sense. So I don't know that I don't know that would have mattered. I think you make a lot of sense. Sometimes some people, you know, like Jack Nicholson and you know a few good men. Some people can't handle the truth, you know, and that's the reality of it. Sometimes people, you know, they want people around them are going to tell them what they want to hear, and they don't want the guys like you, obviously, like me. I'm the same way, Coach K. Anybody in my league will tell you. I don't bite my tongue, and I don't kiss anybody's behind, and I'll tell it like it is. And because you know this Madden thing that we all love isn't paying my bills and isn't, you know, taking care of my children, and it's a hobby and it's a lot of fun, and I'm serious about it, but my livelihood doesn't depend on it. So if somebody somehow or another decided to take it away from me, I'd miss it, but I'd still eat well, I'd still travel, my kids would still be healthy. So those are the priorities that we all have in life, you know what I mean? So I think sometimes people just want to be told, you know, just tell me what I want to hear. And when you shake it up too much, then, you know, you set yourself up, unfortunately, to be on the outside looking in. And frankly, if that's where we have to sit to make change, I'll sit there with you, brother.
It's all good, man. I mean, it's because when I talked to Scott, one of the guys, man, I talked to one of them, like, for like an hour. And it's rough on them, too. You know, because you have, like, you have all of these guys, you put a game together, you never would expect for someone to rate the game to the point that they do. You know, when they instituted, let's say, defensive assignments where you can play maker people wherever, they never anticipated someone putting all 11-minute covers. You know what I mean?
Right.
Certain things, you know, because, you know, me and Squeeze and a few guys, we kind of get in a closed room and argue back and forth. I can understand some of the pain that they're going through, too. You know, my thing is that if you try to do the best you can do and listen to the community and try to implement as much stuff as possible, you're never going to make everybody happy. You know, you only can do what you can do. It's just that you asked me the question about the comments, you know, and how it's listened to. I guess if you hear a million people like me, you know, come at you, how can you, you know, differentiate, all right, this is the one I should listen to. You know, I tell it to other people and they relay it to them and it gets to them or whatever. But I just feel that's just my personal opinion. This has nothing to do with VC Sports. This is Big B, not even AMB. This is how I feel about the situation. And that I feel I got blown off. I feel that the things that I had to say as far as from what people relate to the community wasn't taken seriously. You know, so maybe it is a misunderstanding, but just like you said, I can live with it.
All right. Well, like I said, you know, if we have to make change and make our imprints from the sidelines, then so be it. You know, I'll sit on the sideline then. I don't have to sit in the mainstream in front of everybody to do it. I know I have no problem sitting on the sideline doing it. And clearly, you know, it almost feels like you're doing more now, you know, from where you're at than maybe you were before anyway. That's what it sounds like. That's what it feels like. Let's end on an up note. I understand that there was a tournament this past Saturday, and you know, I understand that somebody in your crew did pretty well. You wanna give us the rundown?
My man Cornstar, aka Ali Quick, took down the Ohio tournament. From my understanding, it wasn't a big turnout, but the competition was decent. And Corn was kind of due. He didn't do as well. I think he did well in the challenges and stuff like that. But since he joined the group, he always been striving to take down as many titles as possible. That's Squeeze's protege. And if things would have worked out, him and Squeeze would have had to play each other. But, you know, something happened in the game. I think a turnover occurred, where whoever Squeeze lost to played Corn, and eventually Corn wound up winning it. So I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him because he really put a lot of time and stuff in. I felt that we will probably win more underground or Madden Challenge tournaments than the EA Challenge because of the fact of the two-minute rule change that they had, like 2 minutes all the way up to the championship, something like that. That's extremely hard to get through. But I figured if we had like 3 to 5 minute quarters, we're probably going to win more after the EA Challenge than we would have during the EA Challenge. It was really tough. You know, anything can happen in 2 minutes all the way up to the championship. You know, that's unheard of. But I'm happy for Corn. There's another championship in the rafters. I'm pretty sure we're probably going to win another 2 to 3 more if it's going to be any more tournaments this year.
Right.
There's
one coming up a week from Saturday, if I'm correct.
In Jersey. King of Couch.
Oh, yeah. Squeeze and them go to that often. I think Squeeze won 2 of those this year already out there in Jersey. I think Rod run those tournaments. I think Rod, or I can't remember who.
Yeah, it's Rod. Yeah, NG Rod,
he sponsored those tournaments. That's basically where Squeeze and them came from. I pretty much met them to those terms. You know, they do pretty well in those out there. I just hope we win. We're probably going to win like another 2 or 3 more. But the competition is getting stiff. A lot of new people are coming up. So I expect it's going to be an exciting tournament season this year.
That sounds great. Well, any final words before we let you go? You've been gracious with your time tonight, and we certainly appreciate it. Any final words?
No, I mean, I just appreciate the fact that y'all brought me on. We covered a lot of stuff. I hope that you could invite me back again. Just like I was telling Coach K, I didn't want to come on just to plug a book. I think it's an honor to come on the show and to, you know, to conversate and talk about a lot of the topics and stuff that people want to know about and to get the information out. So anytime you want me to come on, feel free to let me know, and I'll come on with no problem.
Well, it was definitely an honor for us to have you on our show. I think you've been one of the best guests we've had. No disrespect to anyone else who's joined. We've had a lot of good people, but I really appreciate where you're coming from, and you certainly have a well-rounded view of the game that we all love and the community and the tournament scene. And, you know, you don't have to plug your books because I'll do it for you. Everybody, BG Sports, bgsports.com or maddentips.com. You want to look for the Green Bay ebook or the Red Zone ebook. You heard it. If you joined the show late, you can catch the show in the archives, and Big B talks about both playbooks. They sound hot. I know I'm gonna look at that Red Zone one myself.
I thought you were tired of me plugging the books.
Say that again now?
I thought you were tired of me plugging the books.
Hey, man, you know what, man? Hey, game recognized game. And, he came on and gave us a great interview. And, you know, like I said, I value our relationship. Ron has been great to us. And, you know, like I said, even Bert came on himself one night, and he was actually in the car. I think he said he was going out to get some juice, and so he called in from his car during one of our shows, and a squeeze called in. And so, you know, we really, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, I think too many people want to just start a Madden site, and if they just support some of the best Madden sites that are out there now, we would be even stronger instead of saying, oh, I'm going to start my own site and diluting our efforts. And so, and when I mentioned sites that I thought were, you know, the better sites, certainly VG Sports, aka MaddenTips.com, is a great site. And Big B, thanks a bunch. We appreciate it. We will definitely have you back on the show. Don't, you know, count on it. Might be sooner than you think.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, bro. Thanks for calling in. Take care.
No problem.
Peace. All right. That was Big B from VG Sports. Also, I believe, co-commissioner of the EMB crew. And, you know, check out his e-books. Check out, you know, check out VG Sports anyway. I think they're a great site. But check out the e-book of the Red Zone and the Green Bay Playbook. Sounds like great sites. Big B sounds like a good guy. And, you know, Coach K did a great job of getting him to call into the show. Coach K is kind of, you know, every show has a booker. Coach K is our booker. You know, he goes out there. He knows everybody out there, you know. So he goes out there and gets people to call. Again, that was great. I want to do the first five of the power rankings. So again, these are the first for the next gen. We have not done power rankings since we went on next gen, and so I thought it would be something that we could do weekly. I think, I don't know, because they may not change enough, but we'll see. The season ends on Monday anyway, so this would be it for this season. So for next week's show, there'll be no power rankings. We'll just be talking about playoffs and seedings and matchups. But for the Major League 360, tied at the bottom, or nine, if you will, if we say they're both at nine because they both came in tied, would be Bama with the Panthers and the boys with the Rams. And if you want to know where we got this from, I looked at five different categories. And you got to realize that, you know, there's only a certain amount of information we can get off of League Daddy. So looked at five different categories. Looked at wins, looked at winning percentage, looked at the opposing record, so that the higher your opposing team's record, the more points you would get, number of points you scored, and then the point differential. So how much are you winning games by? Assign certain points for each of those, weighted them all equally, five categories, and that's how we came up with this power ranking. Yours may vary, but these are mine for current through about 2 hours ago. But tied at nine, the boys with the Rams and Bama with the Panthers. At eight, Tiki with the Buffalo Bills and Bama and the Rams. I mean, I'm sorry, Bama with his Panthers and the boys with the Rams had 11 points. Tiki at eight with the Bills at 16 points. At seven is Dirty Burner, a.k.a. Sangrado, with the Jags, 7th at 18 points. And 6th is Primetime Surfer with the Jets, and he's got 19 points. And in a little bit, we will do the top five for power rankings for the Madden 360 league. All right. I had a question come through early on that I will now answer. Came on just when Big B had called in, so I didn't want to keep him on hold or anything any longer. But the question from the audience is, do you think that you have to be a top Madden player to have your own site? Not a site for tips, but a Madden site in general. No, I don't think you do. I don't think that you have to be a top Madden baller. But I do think you have to have a niche. I do think that you have to figure out what it is that you're going to contribute to the Madden community that's not being contributed. Our niche is leagues. I don't care. No one does leagues better than the EAFL, period. End of discussion. So that's our niche. You know, other sites, it might be tips. It might be that some sites will use a well-known name in the community to promote the quality of what you're going to get on that site. I've seen a site that sells lessons. You want to? There's a couple of guys that got together and formed a site, and these guys have won Madden challenges, and they formed a site. And one of the things they do is actually sell Madden lessons. I would never buy one, and I suck at the game. Okay, maybe I don't suck, but I'm not very good at the game. But hey, maybe you know, maybe that's something that you would want to do, and that's their niche. So I just think you have to look at it as, what is it that I can bring that no one else can bring? If you just love the game and want to set up your own forums, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, if you love the game and want to do tips, there's a lot of sites that do tips. Sports Gamers does tips. TML does tips. We talked about VG Sports. They do tips. There's three sites right there that do tips. I tend to think all three of those sites do it pretty well. So why would you then want to compete with entities that are already doing it well? I mean, if you're going to open up a fast food restaurant, are you going to go and do burgers? You know, there's McDonald's, there's Burger King, there's Wendy's. So what are you going to do? You're going to do burgers? Or are you going to do something maybe like hot dogs that isn't done so often? Or I don't know. I mean, I just think you have to think about the market. And I think that's why when you're younger, you don't have a lot of life experience. And so, you know, you don't understand marketing and understanding business and understanding, public relations and understanding, when I say niche, what exactly is a niche? A niche isn't doing something that everybody else is doing. A niche is doing something that nobody else is doing. I'm all for people, you know, heck, let me partner with you. If you're going to do something unique and you need a partner, give me a call. You know, give me an IM. Call into the show right now, 347-838-9525. 347-838-9525. You know, if you're going to do, you know, something unique and you want to talk to me, hey, I'll talk to anybody. But, if you're just going to do the same old same, you're going to go to vBulletin or Envision or one of these sites, and you're going to start a forum, and you're going to cut and paste some things off the A-Sports website, and you're going to say, hey, Madden forums and tips, and it's the best tips around. I mean, come on. You know, let's just save it. So hopefully that gives the guy his answer. I don't think you need to be a top Madden baller or a top Madden entity. I do think you have to be creative and offer something that nobody else offers. Coach K asked me to ask everybody, what are you thankful for? So IM me, email me, post it in the chat room, or call me and tell me, what are you thankful for? Thanksgiving is here. 2 days away. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? If you are, you know, you staying home, you going to families, you traveling, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? And what are you thankful for? And I won't tell you what I'm thankful for just yet, but I'm thankful for a lot of things. About 10:30, we're going to segue into talking about the NFL, and I'm going to bring Coach K back on. Coach K, you there?
Yes, sir.
Any comments?
Oh, no, it was a good interview. A lot of insight from
okay.
Many, many different angles of the Bama community.
Sure. All right. I also want to say that if guys want more coverage of the EAFL, then I would need their commissioners to step up and join the show and talk about the league, or the commissioner can select someone, we'll call it a proxy, to represent them on the show and talk about the league. But that would be the head commissioner's responsibility. So in E2 right now, that's Coach K, until we get a replacement. In Europe, that would be Pimmer. And in the PS3 league, that would be Prototype. Those are the three guys that, if you guys want to come on and talk about your leagues, and we do know that Coach K's spot is temporary. We are going to replace Coach K. He's run leagues long enough, and he doesn't need to be running leagues anymore. He needs to be doing other things, like what he did in getting Big B to join the show. Those are the kind of things that Coach K needs to be doing. So we are still we have a few names, but we're still taking requests for people that want to be the E2 commissioner. But if the commissioner wants to come on in 10 minutes or so and talk about their league, talk about rivalries, talk about who's doing well, talk about who's not, hey, I'm all for it, but I'm not going to do it. I just think that we need to get people onto the show to help promote the show. So that's that. I wanted to talk a second about, it's come up on the message boards, about owners quitting in the league. We've had a couple of conversations offline as well. And I just kind of wanted to explain kind of where we're at and the league's philosophy. Frankly, you know, if you disagree, that's great, but it's not going to really matter. The league's philosophy is what it is, and it's after, again, 3.5 years of doing this. You know, if you quit mid-season because you got busy or something came up, I'm not 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to handle that too favorably. You know, if it's something that was not foreseeable, fine. But to say that you got busy with school, you know you're in college. To say you got busy, I mean, work would be something I might be a little flexible with. You know, but to say you got busy with school, you're in college. What do you expect is going to happen? You know, to say that things popped up out of nowhere and now you can't play. I mean, again, there are exceptions. You know, we do, you know, have those. But most of the time, you know, you're quitting, and that's not looked upon well. You know, you've had connection issues. That's your problem. Your Xbox broke. That's your problem. I mean, you know, we'll probably let you come back, but don't expect a preferential treatment. Don't expect a medal because you decided to resign from the league. Our job is to run a league, you know, and without owners, we don't have a league. So why people feel that they should get a prize because they posted on the message board that they resigned is beyond me. But you're not going to get that. You know, you're going to get a boot on the butt, and you may or may not be allowed to come back. But, you know, when you make a commitment, and this, you know, really, guys, and if there's any girls out there, you make a commitment. Live up to your word. That's it. You say you're going to do something, do it. You know, there's nothing like when you have somebody that you know is going to do what they tell you they're going to do. There's nothing like that. Okay? So if you say you're going to do it, just do it. You know, that's it. That's all. That's about all I. That's about all I have to say about that.
Yep.
Let me see. It triggered something else in my brain that I lost. All right. Well, it's gone now. Coach K, I want you to talk briefly about the NCAA league. Tell everybody what's going on. We shut it down for a while, but you know, we're making some changes there. Can you explain to the community what we're doing with EAFL NCAA?
Yeah, actually, you know, with the Madden Challenge season, like getting real heavy and so on and so forth, you know, I took a lot of focus away from NCAA football, of course. But then also, too, there was like a lot of complaints about how, you know, offensive strafe was still in the game and so on and so forth. So basically, it was a broken game. But now what we've been seeing on forums is that people have been gravitating back to NCAA now that that the offensive strafe has been taken completely out of the game. And it's basically the same – it has the same engine as Madden now. Now the engines are basically a match. So people are, you know, playing NCAA as a change of pace and so on and so forth. So we've been getting, like, requests, like – you know, hey, well, what's up with the NCAA league and so on and so forth. And recently it's been, you know, picking up more and more. So it's like, okay, you know, I think it's time for us to, you know, bring it back. So, you know, now we're bringing it back. NCAA is coming back. We got some new teams in there. If people look over the roster of teams, we'll see we made some additions, brought back Notre Dame, got teams like North Carolina in there, filled with the Pac-10, got Cal in there, UCLA, a lot of traditional college football, like the more popular teams that, you know, people are fans of, that, you know, people want to play with. So, you know, everyone out there that's, you know, hearing this right now, if you haven't played NCAA in a while and because you were discouraged about the offensive strafe, you know, go back, get, you know, upload the patch, see how the game is now, see how similar it is to Madden, and hey, you know, if you want to join EAFL NCAA for, you know, a change of pace from the regular ranked game nonsense that you see, you know, fill out an application, www.EAFLmadden.com/apply.
All right. I like that. And, you know, Coach K, you know, he really stays on top of these things. So, you know, guys, come on back to the NCAA League. We still have the Dynasty League going. We have to figure out our message board again, and Coach K and Sangrado will clear that up so that when you go to the EAFL-NCAA forum, you know what area is for the Dynasty League and what area is for the full NCAA League. And, you know, the Dynasty League doesn't have enough activity to really justify a separate forum at this point. So, but they'll work that out, and it'll be clearly labeled, and I'm sure I'll be brought into that at some point. But EAFL Madden, sometimes you say EAFL so fast, it sounds like you're saying EFL. EAFL, that's me, I'm saying, sometimes I say it so fast. EAFLmadden.com/join, you know, to get your slot and to get your team. And, you know, do so now. The other thing I want to mention is I had a long time ago, and I'm not sure if this was my idea or if I got this from the community, but a long time ago talked about on the radio show having wives and girlfriends or even moms, you know, family members, you know, more wives and girlfriends, but even family members call in and talk about what Madden has meant to the family. You know, how has, you know, Madden affected the relationship, you know? And I thought it would be pretty funny to hear some of the stories about girlfriends getting ignored or wives getting ignored or, you know, as has happened to me, you know, the girlfriend or the wife walks in at the wrong time and, you know, they want to have a conversation and you're in a heck of a game and you yell at them to leave you alone or whatever. Yeah, you know, and they're sitting there looking at you like you're playing a video game. What's your problem? You know, if you guys have those stories, and I don't want the guys calling in, though. I want the girls calling in. I want the wives. I want the girlfriends. I want the mothers. Even the fathers, heck, you know, parents coming in, brothers, sisters. I want the family members, you know, to call in and tell us the stories. So I'm going to put a thread up on the forums, and it'll be in a community section. And you know, I don't want the stories on the thread. I just want to know if people are going to, Family Matters, if people are going to have people call in or not. If we get enough interest, we'll do a segment on it. If we don't, we'll drop it. Same thing with Real Talk, or I Want to Be Heard, as I call it, or, you know, as I was telling Coach K, there's a local radio station here in Connecticut that does Tell Them Why You're Mad, and it is so funny when people call in. So I wouldn't mind doing something like that. You know, we've been on the air for an hour and a half, and I think we're doing a good show, a lot of good content, and Big B certainly helped out, but no one's called in. And so, you know, if the league and if the Madden community as a whole want this to just be a one- or two-man show, then fine, we'll go down that road. I think it's a better show if people are calling in and we can get feedback. I mean, did you guys hear the interview with Big B? Valuable information about how to play the game, tips, you know, advice, promoting the book, talking about the tournament scene, history. I mean, if you're a lover of Madden, as I am, as Coach K is, you know, you can't hear enough of that good stuff about what has built this community. And so, you know, I want more of that. I want more people calling in and telling their stories and communicating. So let's hope that we can make that happen. And if not, hey, then so be it. Then we'll continue to make it a one- or two-man show. All right. I will now do, you know, before we go NFL, I will now do the top five power rankings. I'll post these on the community section as well tonight, and just to see some kind of conversation, or maybe I'll put it in a community section. This way everybody can chime in. But at number five, we have Jodo with the Falcons with 21 points. At four, Keegan Brick with the Ravens at 22 points. At three, Philly Style with the Chiefs at 30 points. At two, the defending Super Bowl champ, Russ Buss, with the Lions at 33 points. And a resounding number one, former Super Bowl champ, Jay Bev, with the Texans, significantly out in front at 39 points. 50 would be perfect. 39 points. And it is important to note that three out of the five categories JBev was top in, and a fourth category he was number two in. So it was going to be really hard to catch JBev with the power rankings. You know, and again, wins, winning percentage, opponent's record, number of points scored, and then point differential. That's what we used. And certainly if you go to League Daddy, they use a different system. I don't have it in front of me, but I think Russ Bus was number one on League Daddy for power ranking. So, you know, look at the stats and tell me what you think. You know, am I off my rocker here, or do those power rankings make sense? All right, moving on, let's talk some NFL. And as we wind down the show, we've got about 25 minutes to go. And remember, 347-838-9525. Email us at themaddenvoice@eaflmadden.com, or you can instant message me. I'm on AOL or AIM. I'm on both right now. And you can catch me at EAFL Commissioner. So we have three ways to get in touch with me. If you got my home number, you can call me, but I can't answer the phone. So, but let's talk a little bit NFL. First thing I want to discuss is Donovan McNabb. You know, partly because it was a hot topic on message boards, I think for the wrong reasons, but nevertheless, it was a hot topic. It was fairly well covered. If you don't know, I'm not sure how you don't know what happened, but McNabb was benched at the end of the halftime game between Philly and Baltimore. He did not have a particularly good first half, although they were only down 10-7 when they benched him, and they brought in Kevin Cobb, their heir apparent, and he didn't do any better. Matter of fact, some would say he did worse. Final score 36-7. And so the issue was, you know, will McNabb be the starter on Thursday? What's the future of McNabb? He's the starter Thursday. After that, who knows if he'll stay the starter. Conventional wisdom says that he gives them their best chance to win, so expect him to stay the starter. And then in the offseason, we'll see where McNabb ends up. Does he stay there, or do they do the Brett Favre thing? Which, you know, you got to look at Green Bay and say, okay, maybe for the long term they made the right decision, but, you know, for right now they certainly made the wrong decision, because Brett Favre tearing it up right now, and Aaron Rodgers, while he's individually playing well, you know, 5-6. So,
yeah, smoked last night.
And they got whooped last night. But on McNabb, first my comments on McNabb. You know, the question was asked, is this a big deal? The question was asked if this had been Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or someone of that caliber, would it have been made a thread? I don't think McNabb lately has mattered much to the NFL. I don't think that McNabb, you know, I don't think McNabb is as significant in a league now as he used to be. And I think part of it is because Philly is the last team in the NFC East behind the Redskins,
yeah,
behind the Giants, behind the Cowboys. I don't think it was a big deal. I don't think that the fact that there wasn't a post meant anything other than McNabb just isn't as relevant as he was even last year. There was a question asked about motivation, and, you know, should a multimillionaire athlete need motivation? You know, and I think back to two seasons ago, Terrell Owens had the overdose, if you will, and they thought that he had tried to commit suicide, and his publicist, who was kind of cute, by the way, but his publicist came on and said that he has 25 million reasons to play football. Well, she was fired for that comment.
Yep. Yeah.
Because there are no pro athletes that want to be viewed as playing for money. They play the game because they want to win, and the game pays them that excessive salary. They understand that better than we do. They understand that that's the income revenue of the profession that they chose. Okay? They want to be pro athletes. Sure, part of the desire to be that was financially independent. There's no doubt about it. But once you get there, you're the motivation being financial is no longer there. You've made the money. All you got to do is play a couple of years and you're a millionaire. So at that point, it's no longer about the money. How many examples do you want? Gary Payton and Karl Malone going to the Lakers. They wanted a ring. You know, Brett Favre coming back. Brett Favre was offered $25 million to stay retired. And he came back to play because he wants to win. You know, guys that are on NFL now, you know, that would say, I would give back all my money for a Super Bowl ring. Because that's what people remember. They don't remember records. They don't remember the money you made. They remember that you were a champion. And so I think that to say that a pro athlete shouldn't need any motivation is ridiculous. They need motivation just like everybody else. And as a matter of fact, I would think they might even need more motivation because they have so much money in the bank.
Yep.
I mean, I got $25 million in the bank. I've been playing. I'm Tom Brady, okay? I'm 30 years old. I've got, you know, $30, $40 million in the bank. I just tore my knee apart. Why not just retire? He's good looking. He's charismatic, and if he retired now, the guy would make a ton of money doing movies, doing TV shows. He don't have to work. But why do you think he's rehabbing? Because the guy wants to win, because he loves to play the game. And so the whole thing about motivation and money, they shouldn't need motivation. They shouldn't need motivation if they want to win, but money is not a motivator, period. Money is not a motivator to succeed and do well in professional athletics. And I've met enough professional athletes in my time to tell you it is not a motivator, okay? So that's just a ridiculous argument. The last thing that I will say about McNabb and the whole message board thing, we have a guy in our league, goes by Govalls. Everybody knows who Govalls is. And about a year ago, there was some comments made by Rush Limbaugh about Donovan McNabb. It was all over the news about how McNabb gets special treatment because he's black. And Govalls jumped all over it and agreed. And it led to some really ugly comments by Govalls that I finally had to say, we don't need you in the league anymore, and I booted him. Prior to that, Govalls had been a controversial member of the league, but a dedicated and loyal member to the league. He had been a great commissioner and had repped the league in a lot of online games and on other websites, and had really been a productive part of the league, just a little controversial. So when he asked to return, I looked at his entire history, not just the tainted part, and I said, I have no problem with you coming back, but here are some conditions. The first condition is you don't discuss race on our message boards, period. Govalls has repeatedly broke that. Second condition was you don't discuss Donovan McNabb on our message boards, period. Because if you go and discuss McNabb, you're going to be too tempted to go down that race road. So do not discuss McNabb. So stay away from race, stay away from McNabb, you will do well. Well, he has repeatedly broken both. He's talked about McNabb several times, and he's talked about race more times than I can remember. Yesterday I posted a thread because I was ready to remove the guy from the league. I posted a thread getting feedback from the league because I'm not always right, okay? I accept that. Sometimes I get emotional and I make a decision and maybe it's not the right one. I make mistakes, so I trust my league to be my eyes for me. And I put a thread up, and really it was a two-fold thread. One was to get some input on a league, and two was to kind of remind this guy that he is the Pac-Man Jones to the EAFL. He is on a thin line here, and he can't make mistakes and sidestep. But he continually does it, but I wanted him to see that he can't. Thread was going great until he got on there and called me insecure and, you know, accused me of leading another witch hunt and whatever else. Wingman, God bless the guy. The guy's, you know, about as articulate as you're going to find, puts a well-written post together that basically says, you know, two goal balls, you're wrong, period. You're just wrong. You were told not to make a thread about, not to talk about McNabb. I've heard T tell you this. You've done it several times. Now you make a whole thread about him. And you got to read the thread because if you think that he wasn't saying the reason that McNabb wasn't made an issue on our message boards was because of race, then you don't know this guy. But that's what he was saying, whether he'll admit it or not. I don't care, but that's what he was saying. He also told Govals that if, you know, I can't believe you've had multiple N-word incidences with guys in this league. No matter how he explains them, he's had more than one. So, you know, pretty much Wingman said, stay away from McNabb, stay away from race, stay away from the N-word, and you'll be fine. I thanked him. I said, that's exactly the advice you need. Well, I go back on the message boards today. The conversation about McNabb is still going. And Govals went into some comment about why he didn't go to college or why he didn't. I got to find it here and read it. But this was after he had been warned repeatedly. This was after he had been given good advice from Wingman about letting things go. This was after all of this, okay? And he still had to post that, let's see. Hold on, guys. I'm looking for it here. And I cannot find it, but it was enough for me to say. Oh, here it is, I think. He says, no, wait a minute, that's not it. Hold on. It's coming. Okay. I'm not a minority, so I qualified for very, very few scholarships, forcing me to incur a massive amount of debt if I wanted to go to college. Okay? Why? You know what I mean? Like, what part of not discussing something do you not get? What part of it?
Me too.
I don't get it. Here's the whole thing. The comparison between him and McNabb, and he says, no difference at all, sarcasm. McNabb got to go to school for free because he could play football. My state, here it is. My state had no lottery, and I'm not a minority, so I qualified for very, very few scholarships. Why couldn't he just say, I didn't go to college because, you know, I didn't go to college. I couldn't afford to go, I didn't go to college. Simple. So anyway, to make a long story short, you know, temporarily, maybe permanently, I don't know, Govals will not be on our forums. He's been banned. It could be permanent. I got to think about it. You know, I have a lot of respect for what the guy has done in the league. I have respect for the fact that he thinks that he is sensitive to these areas. But, you know, at some point when you see the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, you got to just start to say, okay, I can't deal with it anymore. So for now, he's suspended from the message boards, not from the league just yet. But he, you know, from the forums, I don't have any more patience, and we'll see where that goes. All right, I got a caller here wants to get in on the conversation. Sorry, I got so long winded. 813 area code. Who am I talking to?
I'm a mother calling in.
Ah, we have a mom calling in. This is great. I asked for this, and I get it, and this is great. So, whose mom are you?
Brian, Killer 21G.
Oh, yeah, Brian Stevens, a.k.a. Killer 21G. All right. And what do you got to tell us about Brian and Madden and you know, how has it affected the household?
Well, it's just he can't do anything when he's in a league game. He can't participate in anything at all. And a couple years ago, we were moving to a new house, and we were loading the truck to move and basically had loaded everything in the house except for the router, the TV, and the PlayStation. And we ended up sitting in an empty house for about an hour waiting for a league game to finish. So that we could load up the rest of the stuff.
You should have done a picture of that, man.
Oh, man, that's classic.
Wow. That's dedication, man.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to move it until the game was done.
Wow.
That might have been during the League vs. League tournament, see?
Wow. Oh, mom, that's classic. So how do you feel about his involvement in the league and in the Madden stuff, you know, or are you wondering what it's all about, or do you just kind of go about your business and ignore it?
I don't know a whole lot about the game, but I watch it.
Oh, okay.
I just watch him play, and I don't know a lot about it. And his brother and him get playing sometimes, and they fight, and I have to be referee because he my other son doesn't play so well, and he claims that Brian cheats all the time.
Ryan's actually pretty good at the game, so he's been around the league for a while, and he's actually pretty good at the game, so it's probably not a fair game just because he's that good when he plays the game. But that's funny stuff. Well, Mom, you know, Brian's mom, Killer21G's mom, I want to thank you for calling in. Sorry I left you on hold so long. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate that. And hopefully you've started a trend where we can get some more mothers or sisters or girlfriends or wives to call in. And I don't know if they're going to beat that story of a sitting in an empty house waiting for a league game. And that might be that might be the story.
I wonder if the boys are there with them.
Yeah, I don't know. But, hey, I want to thank you for calling, and we appreciate it.
Okay, you have a good evening.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was great. I want to thank Ryan, a.k.a. Killer21G, for having his mom call in. That was
nice.
Hey, guys, you heard it. So, you know, a good sample of what we can expect. Talk to your wives. Talk to your girlfriends. Talk to your family members. Ask them, do they want to call in and vent about how frustrating it is dealing with you when you're playing Madden, when you're playing a league game? And let's see if there's anyone who can beat that story. I don't know. I don't know if that story can be beat. That's a pretty good one. But anyway, enough on Gold Balls, enough on McNabb. Pac-Man Jones has been reinstated, and good segue from Gold Balls to Pac-Man. Pac-Man Jones. I guess, you know, with Gold Balls, I keep hoping that the guy gets it. It's kind of like you just hope that the guy gets it. You know, I have a big heart, and I just hope the guy gets it. It may not happen in front of me. It may not happen in the league. I just hope that the guy gets it. But anyway, Pac-Man Jones is back with the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, I really don't have much to say about it. I think that it's short-term arrangement. I think he'll finish the season strong. I think he'll do well. I just don't think he'll make it through the offseason. I think and not because he'll do anything egregious. I just think that his margin for error is too thin for the lifestyle he lives. What happened last time to me wasn't a big deal, but because it was him, he got suspended. I don't think that he will be able to, because pretty much at this point, if he does anything, he's gone. He misses a counseling appointment. He does anything, he's all done. And I don't know that that's even realistic to say that everyone steps out of line once in a while. So to me, it's a matter of time. I think Dallas will slowly integrate him back into the team and give him a role to help the team, but I don't think they'll depend or rely on him. But I think they'll find spots for him, and they'll make it work the best they can. Sticking with the Cowboys for a minute, another big conversation was T.O.'s interview. T.O. had changed his interview style after he had some he will not interview with ESPN. He will not talk to Ed Werder. Ed Werder really did some unjust things to T.O. several weeks ago. And if you ever watch any of T.O.'s interviews now, if you hear him say next question, it's because Ed Werder asked him a question, because he will not answer any of Ed Werder's questions. That said, I didn't get the whole Deion interview thing. You just played three games without your star quarterback. That's why you're not getting the ball. Why do you now need to go on national TV and say you need the ball? Romo just got back last week. So I didn't get it. T.O.'s my man. He's my favorite player in the league. I love me some T.O., you know. And you saw what he did on Sunday. The guy is still to me the best wide receiver in the game. Seven catches, a touchdown, 213 yards receiving. His second best day as a professional. But I just think, you know, at some point, we know you want the ball, and it's okay you want the ball, but stop doing it. Don't interview with Deion no more. Deion, I love Deion as a player, but Deion now, he's not a Cowboy. Deion is a 49er, if you ask me. He's not a Cowboy. Don't do interviews with Deion anymore, and just play. I love you, T.O., but I just want you to play the game. That's all. The Jets upset the Titans. Was it an upset? The Jets are 8-3. Titans are 10-1. 34-13 in Tennessee. I've never been a huge Brett Favre fan, but last year and this year, he's made a believer out of me. The guy's one of the best to ever play the game. You put him on a Jets team that really wasn't that great, and look what he has done. At 39 years old, I mean, Brad Johnson for the Cowboys is 40 and can't throw the ball past 15 yards with any accuracy. And Brett is 39 and throws the ball as hard as anybody in the NFL and accurate. I mean, he throws his interceptions. There's no doubt about it. He's still a gunslinger, but I got to give it to him. You know, you got to now think that, who is the best team in the AFC? Was that game of like when the Browns beat the Giants, or you know, will this be a slide for the Titans? Kerry Collins has been to a Super Bowl, but is he that level of quarterback? Remains to be seen. What about the Patriots? They're starting to surge a little bit now. Matt Castle's finding his way. Could there be something
making
there?
Making himself a lot of money.
He will next year.
Yeah.
Look at the Colts. Peyton Manning's healthy, finally, and he's making a surge now. So AFC's, Titans have lost now. They lost to the Jets. So you got to say now there's no favorite anymore, in my opinion. NFC, unfortunately, there is a favorite. There's the Giants and everybody else, and that's really it. There's no discussion in the NFC. Everybody else is fighting for who's the second best team, and there's a lot of conversations around who the second best team is. I don't even know who that is, but right now the Giants are head and shoulders above everybody in the NFC, period. And did you see the game last night? Drew Brees was unbelievable. Right now playing better than quarterback in the NFL, period. On a quarterback note, I do want to say that for those of you who laughed at me when I said the Browns should dump Derek Anderson, trade him while he has some value, and sign Brady Quinn to a long-term contract and then go get a veteran to back up Brady Quinn. Well, Derek Anderson's sitting on the bench now. He did come in on Sunday, but Quinn's their quarterback. And now Brown's stats and his performance have deteriorated, so now if they try to deal him, they're not going to get much for him. They're not going to get what they would have got for him. So I'm going to say that I was right about the whole Derek Anderson experiment, but that's just my opinion. Couple minutes left. I want to thank Coach K. I know you're still there. Yeah. I appreciate you joining me tonight and everything you've done for the league and for the show, especially getting Big B to call in. So I'm going to say goodnight to you, sir.
Right.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. Certainly want to thank Big B for calling in. It was very informative. It was great. And we will have him on the show again. I want to thank Fred over at Sports Gamers for continuing to host us. It's a great relationship, and we just hope that it gets better. I want to thank my league. You guys are the best. Keep up the good work. Can't do it without the guys in my league. And we just want to keep getting bigger and better and stronger. Before I go, this first show since the election, and as everybody knows now, the 44th president will be Barack Obama, and he's president-elect now. He won the election in a landslide, and I was trying to think of a way to cover that on the show and also to announce that I'm going to start a separate show to talk politics. It'll be within the next week or so, and I'll plug it a couple of times here, but it'll be separate. So stay tuned. I'm going to do a political show. But I had gotten sent, my brother wrote a letter to CNN because CNN had said, what does this victory mean? And so I thought I would end the show reading. Now, he doesn't know I'm doing this. So if you ever listen to the show, he'll probably be mad that I read his letter on the air. But this was from my brother. He doesn't know I'm doing this. But this is what having a President Obama or having a first African-American elected in office, this is what it meant to him. So I'm reading it now. What does this victory mean to me? In so many ways, this victory means so much. It brings many thoughts as well as people to mind. The first person that comes to mind is my father, who grew up in the heat of segregation in the South in a small town called Opelika, Alabama. I can recall many stories that he never quite could finish because of the pain of the memories. He witnessed it all, the hoses, the riots, the beatings, and the absolute injustice that have been placed against us. He witnessed it all. He often said that he had to leave because either he would have been in jail or been killed. The inequalities were too much for him to bear, so he moved to the North. These inequalities that he witnessed, I merely read in textbooks from one class to another, one grade to the next. I read what he witnessed. I read the history he was a part of. The unthinkable has happened. The attainable has been achieved. The snowball has made it through hell. And listening to our president-elect Obama, I still can't believe I can say that, there should not have been a soul untouched, should not have been a moment where eyes were bone dry, should not have been time your heart was untouchable, should not have been a time thoughts weren't provoked. We're going off the air now, but I'm going to finish this letter and then sign off. For days, weeks, months, years, decades, and generations, after all we have asked for is a chance. If you want to see a grown man cry, you do not need to only watch the birth of a child or the passing of a loved one. No, give him a chance to succeed, a chance to have the same opportunities as anyone else, a chance to dream and have those dreams fulfilled. Life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness, yes, a chance at that too. Last night proved, election night, that changes can happen. Dreams do come true. Hope can be harvested from those very seeds of chance, because hope is nothing more than helping others, perhaps everyone. As I continued to listen to his victory speech, continued to watch the crowds, you could see many in the crowds with tears streaming. And why not? Look at the struggle of this race, the internal struggle of this nation. Yes, tears should be shed. Please know that I am not saying Obama will completely turn this country around in no time at all, because there is so much to fix and so much to do. But please know that I am saying we have at this very moment turned a new chapter, create our own journey to an America that has for the first time thought about what is truly right. This is a time to have those that came before you in the forefront of your mind. This is a time to pay homage to those that gave their lives for this moment. This is a time to understand history, yet embrace this moment and our futures. And for me personally, this is a time when I can see my dad, give him a big, tight hug, and look him in the eyes and say, Dad, we made history the right way. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back here next week, same time, Tuesday night. And remember, join the EAFL, because that's where all feuds are settled on the field.